This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Daily Mix Show presents the most popular radio game on this side of the speaker. Let's play Beat Mix.
Beat Mix, don't be a loser.
Ready to beat Migs. I know Jacob from Renton is. Jacob, are you there?
Oh, yeah. Let's do this.
Jacob, in honor of Halloween week, if you beat Migs, I'm going to send you some super tasty candy as part of the treat. And the trick, I'm going to send you an even tastier picture of all of us in our Hooters outfits. How does that sound?
Oh, very nice.
Which part, the chocolate or the Hooters picture?
I think the Hooters.
Candy's expensive these days. This is actually a pretty sweet deal.
Dude, it is. It really is. All right, Steve, it's time for you to get out of here.
Bye-bye.
For those playing at home, Jacob has 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You can pass all you want, but you only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Finish this famous slogan. The best part of waking up is what in your cup?
Folgers in your cup.
Correct. Oktoberfest originated in what country?
Germany?
Yes. What was Frasier a spinoff from?
Seinfeld?
No.
Beth.
Roger Taylor is the drummer in what Fat Bottom Girls band?
Queen.
Yes. Who is the starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills?
Josh Allen.
Yes. Sully and Boo are characters from what animated movie?
Monsters, Inc.
Yes. What candy was originally called chicken feed?
Candy corn?
Correct. What was Sheldon Cooper's one-word catchphrase in The Big Bang Theory?
Bazinga.
Yes. Beginning with C, what is the real first name of Snoop Dogg?
Curtis?
No.
Charles?
No.
Chuck?
No. How many seasons did Friends have?
Six, nine.
No, nice, but no.
12.
No. Jacob, you got 7 correct.
I thought that was a very lovely performance.
Yes, you were on a roll there for a little bit. I think it's going to be close. But I want to give away some candy and a really sexy Hooters pick.
And Jacob, out of curiosity, what is your favorite candy?
Oh, you know what? I'm not really a candy fan. Let's just go with plain Kit Kats.
All right.
There are some in the bowl.
Wow. Kit Kats are always good. Mm. Steve, are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Finish this famous slogan. The best part of waking up is what in your cup?
Folgers.
Correct. Oktoberfest originated in what country?
I'm going to go with Germany.
You would be correct. What was Frasier a spinoff from?
Cheers.
Yes. Roger Taylor is the drummer in what Fat Bottom Girls band?
Oh, okay. For a second, I was going to say Duran Duran, but no, it's Queen.
Yes. Who is the starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills?
I don't talk about the Buffalo Bills on this show, but it's Josh Allen.
It is.
I wish he didn't show up on Sunday.
Oh, Sully and Boo are characters from what animated movie?
Sully and Boo?
Yes.
Is it Nightmare Before Christmas?
No.
Rugrats?
No.
What?
X-Files?
No. Which candy was originally called chicken feed?
Excuse me? Chicken feed?
Chicken feed.
The candy corns.
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. What was Sheldon Cooper's one-word catchphrase in The Big Bang Theory?
Bazinga.
Yes. Beginning with C, what is the real first name of Snoop Dogg?
Calvin.
Correct. How many seasons did Friends have?
11.
No.
12?
No.
13?
No.
A lot more?
Only 10, actually.
Oh, crap. Wrong direction.
Steve, you got 8 correct, which is a win, 8-7. Oh. Sorry, Jacob.
Oh, man. Almost.
Almost.
No sexy pick for you.
And no chocolate.
Yeah, candy corn was called chicken feed.
Yeah.
Isn't that not a cute name for candy?
Not at all.
It makes sense, though, because don't chickens eat corn?
They love corn.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you're welcome, Sarah. They should have kept that name. It sounds like a nasty thing, and it is nasty.
You don't like it at all, even just like a little bit?
Yesterday we went to like, it was like called like the Harvest Festival at the church right by our house. And like Tatum got dressed up and went around and won like little prizes. And most of the prizes were little like, you know, mini bags of candy or like silly little toys. And one of them, she comes running over to me. She won like this little claw machine thing. She's like, look what I got, Daddy. I'm like, that, you go back over there and tell them you want something that's good. And it was the candy corn.
Oh, well, did she try it?
No, she didn't try any of the candy. She was just collecting it. She didn't want to eat it when we got home. So we just now have a bunch of like a ring pop, some Smarties, the candy corn. But I'll make sure she tries. I'll get an honest review from her.
Yes, yeah. Please do. Okay. Well, congrats on beating Jacob.
Live Night is coming back on December 13th, and we're going to be at Showbox Soto this year with everything performed live from the stage. Even Beat Migs will be played live.
Absolutely.
We're going to be there. The men's room is going to be there. Lots of special guests. And, of course, the KISW New Originals will be throwing down the music. You can get your tickets now by heading over to KISW.com. Over the weekend, my son Barrett broke something, but it was not something bad. In fact, we're all very proud and very fired up about what he broke.
Well, based on your story, it's probably ladies' hearts.
I'll tell you what he broke after Green Day.
The Daily Migs Show.
Migs, over the weekend, Barrett had a Halloween party at his martial arts studio.
Okay.
And all these kids came dressed up in costumes. It was complete chaos.
I'm very sad that they didn't dress up as Cobra Kai.
Yeah, there was no Cobra Kai
right.
to be found, but there were a lot of other really fun, cool costumes. And Barrett went as Batman, of course.
Of course.
And then a lot of the adults were dressed up. I was in a skeleton onesie. I was very festive.
Awesome.
And then at one point, the instructor, the main teacher, asked all the kids to find, you know, either a parent or like one of the adults that brought them to come out onto the floor and do board breaking.
Now, as Barrett... because I remember when I did Taekwondo as a kid, I think it was in order to become a green belt, you had to be able to break a board. I can't remember if it was with the fist or the foot. I believe it was with the foot. And if you could break, that was like part of the test.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember being so fired up when I did it and I got my green belt. I was like, I thought I could just take on the whole world.
It was so cool. So everybody gets their boards and they show the parents how to hold them. And Barrett did like a three count. 1, 2, 3, and slammed down with a hi-ya and busted the thing in half. I was so proud.
Did he do it with his foot?
He did it with his hand, like kind of like the pinky side of your hand.
Okay.
Like in a fist.
Oh, like he clobbered
it. Like a hammer down.
Like you smash it down?
Yes.
That seems dangerous.
It was very cool. And then
I feel like if you just do it, I mean, I guess that's just the whole point. Like there's danger in anything you do.
Of course.
But I just worry that if he hit like his wrist, he could have broke like that bone right there.
Well, I will say it did take 2 tries. The first try, he didn't get it. Then we tried the second time and he got it.
Now, did every kid break the board?
Every kid was able to try and break a board. And I didn't see any failures. I think everybody got it.
Now, Barrett's not listening right now, right?
No.
Do they cheat a little and like kind of make sure that the board is easy to break? I've heard like of stories like where like you can like warm the board up in the oven.
Oh.
Or, like, you know, you can like, make sure it has like a hairline, little bit of a crack in there that you can't see just to kind of boost the confidence because he's only 5.
I mean, you could tell this is not like the hardest wood that's ever been, you know, utilized before. There's some give to it.
Oh, okay.
But he did it and it was super impressive and he was so proud of himself. And then he wanted to pose for 13 million pictures. Mom, take a picture of me with my board. It was pretty darn cute.
So I said, that is badass of him. Like 5 years old.
I'm excited, and he just got his yellow belt recently, so I think we finally like found something that he really likes.
He looks forward to it.
Oh, every single week.
I remember it's crazy to think like less than a year ago talking to you about like his Taekwondo karate adventures, and it just sounded like he wanted to do anything but that.
The first 2 months were absolutely miserable, but now he's in it.
Nice.
We got a little Cobra Kai.
No, I'm more of like a Miyagi Dojo.
Yes, there you go.
Right.
The Seahawks. We're embarrassing yesterday. Do you think we should give up hope on this team?
Man, it seems like every weekend I end the weekend with, they're not as bad as I thought, or maybe this team just sucks.
Well, we're going to chat with the host of Mitch Unfiltered. Mitch Levy will join us to chat about the Hawks at 7:20.
The Daily Migs Show.
I feel like as Seahawks fans, we've been on a bit of an emotional roller coaster these past couple of weeks. And who better to break all of this down for us this morning than our friend, the host of Mitch Unfiltered, which you can listen to wherever you get your podcasts or at MitchUnfiltered.com. And that is Mitch Levy. Good morning, Mitch.
What's the song is my question.
What's the song?
Yeah, what's the song? I mean, can we go to the song?
Oh.
How much longer till we can go to the song? What's the song, Danny?
Mitch, I was going to say...
What's the song, Danny? That's what I want to know.
I was hoping we could talk more about Chicken McNuggets, because I was like, I'd rather talk about that. Than this. Oh my God.
Anything but 31-10 to the Buffalo Bills, Migsy. What happened, Migsy?
I mean... I feel like everything that could go wrong went wrong, man. The defense was falling apart. The offense, I mean, just when you think that they're going to be able to punch it through and make a game out of this, they found creative and new ways to just kind of F it up. And then the team's fighting on the sideline. Everything was falling apart, Mitch.
It was not a very good day. It was not a very good day yesterday. That's for sure. I hope it gets better, but I don't know. 31-10. The disheartening thing is that they weren't able to be competitive.
Yeah.
You'd like them to be competitive. And now they sit 4-4. Tough stretch. Rams coming in this week. Rams getting healthier. All their receivers are back. You know, they won a big game against the Vikings the other day. And so, yeah, it's not good.
But then there's that optimist side of me that's like, well, they're still right in it for the NFC West. And I know that they didn't do well yesterday, but it's not like as if they're like in last place and every other team is having a great season. Everybody's just kind of middle of the road this year.
Very mediocre.
Well, speak to me in a couple weeks about that.
Fair. Yeah.
I mean, they play the Rams and then they play the 49ers. So we'll know. If they lose the next two and they're 4-6... you're not going to be able to say the same thing in about 3 weeks.
How much do you think of an impact was it that DK Metcalf wasn't playing yesterday?
Well, it certainly impacted the offense, but I don't know how DK impacted a defense that really was not resistant, the Seahawks defense, that was really not resistant to the Buffalo Bills offense. I mean, it was bad. It was bad. And I contend that the Falcons game, they probably weren't as good defensively as it looked at the end. We talked about that last week. It's really upsetting. I mean, when you went out and got this guy, Mike McDonald, you expected him to come in and at least show you glimpses and flashes and excitement on defense. That's what his forte. And for the most part, since they started with that soft landing, they have not been good defensively, with the exception of maybe the Falcons game. But yesterday, the Bills just did whatever they want offensively, converting on third downs, and they just weren't good. They weren't competitive on defense. So DK had nothing to do with that. That's for sure. Where's the song, Taryn? Bring the song.
You can follow Mitch Levy on Twitter.
Where's the song?
His handle is Mitch_Seattle. And, of course, the host of Mitch Unfiltered, which you can listen to wherever you get your podcasts or at MitchUnfiltered.com. We're going to have more with Mitch after Scorpions.
The Daily Mix Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Rockaholics, he is the host of Niche Unfiltered, which you can listen to anywhere you get your podcasts or at nicheunfiltered.com. Mitch Levy, we are licking the wounds from yesterday's horrible loss. The Seahawks fell to the Bills 31-10.
Episode 309 is now available because I know you want to hear all about the Bills and the Seahawks. And if you don't want to hear all about the Bills and the Seahawks, then you want to hear all about Washington losing to Indiana. I know you just want to hear about Loserville, which is where we sit right now. But going back to yesterday's game, I would just say this. There are games you lose, and then there are games that you lose. And you lost to a good team yesterday, but you didn't feel like, at least I didn't, can only speak for one person, you didn't feel like that team came in and imposed their will on you. It was like all the mistakes that the Seahawks made to push themselves out of the game, they were all self-imposed. There was no, they were all unforced. We call them in tennis unforced errors.
Yeah.
They were unforced errors. So it was 7-0, and you have the ball, you take the ball down 92 yards, and you're inside the 5-yard line. And the snapper snaps the ball over the quarterback's head. Right, Migsy? Snaps it right over the quarterback's head. Now, what was the Bills' role in that?
Right. No, it was nothing. All on them.
It was all on them. They just snapped the ball over the guy's head. Kenneth Walker goes back like 20, 25 yards, picks it up, and now you settle for 3. Okay, it's 7-3. Now you kick off to the Bills, and you come up with a great interception. You're in position again inside the 5-yard line. It's 4th and goal from, I think, the 1 or 2. You're in a position to take the lead. And what happens? They step on Geno's foot. What was the Bills' role in the Seahawks stepping on their own feet and falling down on 4th down? Nothing. You didn't make a good Bills team even play. I made the comment on our show that we released this morning. I made the comment that this was the easiest business trip that an NFL team ever had to take going 3,000 miles. I mean, they literally got on the plane, the Bills, came here on Friday, and they went back last night, like, looking at each other like, I thought Seattle was supposed to be a difficult place to play. This was simple. No physicality, no nothing. No resistance by the Seahawks. An easy little business trip for the Bills. So that's what's disheartening about it. And in the old days, people didn't want to come to Seattle. They didn't want to get on a plane and come to Seattle. They knew they were in for a tough afternoon with both the team and the crowd, and it was just going to be very, very difficult. And the Seahawks did none of that.
And it was crazy to just hear how many Bills fans that were there. I mean, watching all on Bills TV, fans, and I had a few friends that were there. They were like, it was insane right. Just how many Bills fans were in that stadium.
Right. And so you ask yourself, you know, you never want to judge a coach after 8 games. That's not fair. I mean, he may end up being a great coach someday. He may be a great coach now. He may be in the Hall of Fame someday as a coach. I don't know. But it's 8 games, and I'm asking the question, what is he getting out of this group that the previous guy wasn't getting out of this group? We all wanted the previous guy out, including myself. I raised my left hand. And, you know, Pete Carroll was not able to get much out of this team. And I don't see real examples, real evidence that Mike McDonald is getting a lot out of this team, especially on defense where he's supposed to be a whiz. So it's I wish I could come on your show and be optimistic. We'll see if they can turn it around against the Rams this week. They're still, as you point out, they're still in it. They're 4-4. They're right in the middle of an NFC West race. They're losing a little bit of traction and ground in the wild card in the NFC, but they're still in the NFC West race. But it's not good.
No, you're not wrong. And the Rams are getting healthier, and then like the Cardinals right. are playing way better than I think a lot of people expected that they were going to play. And then there's the 49ers right. who are the 49ers. It's just like right. it's going to be a rough season.
So you wonder who you should be pointing your finger at today. I mean, you can point your finger at the coach. You can point your finger at the players. You know, we talk a lot on episode 309 this morning. We talked a lot about the general manager, John Schneider. Now, John Schneider came in here with Pete Carroll many, many years ago, and they built something very, very special. They brought a Super Bowl back to Seattle. They nearly brought two. He did an amazing job with the Legion of Boom in building some of those rosters. So the question is, what does that earn him? Does that earn him a lifetime of being immune to criticism? And does it earn him a lifetime of the job, no matter what he wants or no matter what anybody wants, because he was able to be a part of such success? Or is there an expiration to that? At what point do we start saying, come on, John, we're complaining about the offensive line every single year.
Yep.
Build us an offensive line. Do we say, hey, come on, John, teams are running the ball down our throats on defense. We're complaining about the same things every year. So at what point is John Schneider, the general manager, who, by the way, Jody Allen went to this offseason and said, okay, we'll get rid of Pete. We'll give you the keys to the car. It's all your car now. You pick your coach. You pick your players. You pick anything you want. This is your organization, John Schneider. So this is his baby now. You know, Pete always had the final word on decision making. So, you know, what's John Schneider's role in all this? And at what point do we lose patience in the way he's building the team? There's just a lot of questions. And these are the types of questions that you ask when you lose 31-10 and you're not competitive on your own field to the Buffalo Bills yesterday. These are the types of questions that come up.
And based on that, then, is it fair to look at the coach when the coach is really just playing the hand that he was dealt, in the sense that he's playing the players that John Schneider put together for him? Is it really McDonald's fault then?
Well, I would ask this. Is Leonard Williams a good player?
Absolutely.
Is Byron Murphy a good player?
Yep.
Is Devin Witherspoon a good player? Is Tariq Woolen a good player? Is Julian Love a good player? Ernest Jones, the guy that they traded for last week, had 15 tackles yesterday. Is he a good player? Is Boye Mafe a good player? Is Derek Hall, when he's not fighting with his teammates, a good player?
Oh, that was
player?
Rough. Yeah.
I think I just listed 5 or 6, 7 guys out of 11 that we think are good players. At least they are thought universally as good players, are going to Pro Bowls, and they're highly graded by Pro Football Focus. So I guess to answer your question is, if I gave a young defensive whiz, an 11-man defense with 5 or 6 or 7 good players, should they be better than they are right now? That's for somebody else to answer. That's not for me to answer. It seems to be the opinion that they've got 6 or 7 good players on that defense. They should be better, at least week to week, than they are right now. So is it fair to point the finger at defensive-minded Mike McDonald? I don't know. It's only 8 games. Maybe they haven't gotten a hold or their arms around his defense just yet. I don't know, Migsy. It's not good. These are the types of conversation. This is why I want to know. Is there another song? Danny.
We're going to talk about a difference of a week, man.
Last week, kidding.
I was like, starting to feel some optimism, and I just feel like we just took like 10 steps backwards in this game.
Well, maybe next week it'll go back to the way you felt last Monday. If they can go out there and beat a Rams team who's kind of had their number a little bit lately and is getting healthy, as you point out, they've got their 2 all-world receivers. The one thing I would say to keep an eye on, just a little eye on for your listeners, that's kind of interesting, is the trade deadline in the NFL is coming. And there is an opinion out there that the Rams might be the type of team that's ready to start rebuilding. And if they do, they might trade some of their pieces away. And it could happen this week before the Seahawks play the Rams. There's been some talk about Cooper Kupp, whether they could get something for him in terms of draft choices and start to rebuild that team. Matt Stafford is not going to be there forever. And there is at least some people watching to see what the Rams do this week. So maybe the Seahawks catch a break and the Rams start trading players away before they come here on Sunday.
Rugaholics.
So you're telling us there's a chance.
Yeah. You can give Mitch a follow on X. His handle is Mitch_Seattle. Thank you, Mitch. Hopefully next week we have a little more of an exciting chat.
Danny, play the song, damn it.
How would you like to beat Steve Miggs, Rockaholics? It would be helpful if you were listening on Friday at 5:40 during the men's room, because we gave out a cheat sheet that gives you three correct answers for the 750 edition of Beat Miggs. Steve's got a record of 302 wins, 90 losses, and 53 ties in 2024. 206-803-ROCK. We're going to play Beat Miggs at 750.
The Daily Miggs Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.